18th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 24, we read these words. Annas sent Jesus bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter denied it again, and at once the rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Jesus answered, Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "No, not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Thus far in the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, if you turned your television on this week at all, and the news was broadcast, you certainly are well aware of the fact that this past week the Casey Anthony trial ended in her acquittal of the charge of murder. There's an intensive media coverage that has been going on and probably will continue on almost indefinitely about this particular trial. Many hypotheses will be put forth as to what really happened, and we are hearing of people's reactions. Many are outraged that this trial would have ended in acquittal. Many have compared what happened with her to the infamous trial of O.J. Simpson, who was also acquitted of the charge of murder. And there's almost nothing that can be said about this entire incident with any certainty except this. Not because you hear it from me, but because by logic and by truth, it's the only thing that can be said. No one will be able to say with absolute certainty what occurred, whether this person is guilty or not, because we simply will not ever be able to find out the truth. The passage that we have looked at in Scripture this morning is a passage of another trial. A trial before Pilate, who was the governor over the people of Israel at the time of the Lord Jesus. A trial that was, by many standards, considered to be the greatest miscarriage of justice that ever occurred. If you would put all of the Casey Anthony and O.J. Simpson trials together, it will never come up to the greatest miscarriage of justice that ever occurred. And we can say that with absolute authority because we say it on the absolute authority, not of our own observance, not on our own hypothesis, not on our own reactions, but on the absolute certainty of what's revealed to us in the Word of God. The passage we're going to look at this morning follows the trial of Christ before Caiaphas and Annas, the high priest of Israel, and Caiaphas being the one appointed by the Roman government. That trial, too, was unjust because it was held at night. Jesus was brought before these high priests by force, condemned to death by the most unholy judicature on earth. The most fearful and perverted form of justice that ever occurred is recorded in the passage that's before us in the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Holy One of God, condemned as a blasphemer and brought before a lawless court to be sentenced to death. The chief priests and the elders of the people wanted nothing less than the death of Jesus, and so they looked for false witnesses. They brought them to charge Jesus with a capital crime so that he could be put to death. And then they take him to Pilate, because Pilate, the Roman governor, was the one who alone in Israel at this time had the authority to bring about the death sentence by the form of death that was practiced by the Romans. We know it as crucifixion. The law of Israel, you see, prescribed the death sentence by stoning. But the death penalty they sought against Jesus needed the authority of Pilate, the procurator of Judea, who ruled over Israel. And it's that which we want to look at this morning as we look at verse 33 and see Jesus' confession before Pilate. Beginning at verse 33, we see that Jesus had been brought before Pilate, and Pilate entered his headquarters and he has this discussion with Jesus. He asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" That's what he had been told. And he asks this question. We need to make a few comments about Pilate before we examine the question that he asks. We need to remember, and history records this, that Pilate was an inept leader. He was an opportunist who became procurator of Judea by marrying into the family of Emperor Augustus. He married the granddaughter of Emperor Augustus, and I guess that was enough to get him a good job, but he was an inept leader. His administration was flawed. History records that he was a cruel leader. He enraged the Jews over whom he ruled by carrying banners emblazoned with the image of Tiberius into Jerusalem. It was a sacrilege to the people of Israel. He told his soldiers to raid the Korban treasury of the temple, where all of the treasure of Israel's people was kept, and they raided the temple of the Lord. When there was an uprising against him, he sent his soldiers out into the crowd in plain clothes. Hidden under their cloak was daggers, and at the opportune moment, they attacked the demonstrators, killing many of them. And the list goes on. It's small wonder that he was not always in favor with Rome, which was the seat of government and to whom he was responsible. But this is the leader that Christ is brought before so that he might pronounce the death sentence upon the Lord Jesus. He begins his interrogation with the question, "Are you the King of the Jews?" It's almost a question that is asked in an incredulous manner. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Look, as you see him before Pilate, Jesus is no doubt dressed as a peasant, stained with bloody sweat, having been beaten and bruised. And he is a king. Pilate almost seems to be saying, "I can't believe this. Let's examine it further." Jesus turns the question, however, on Pilate. And he puts Pilate on trial, and he cuts right to the heart of Pilate when he says in response, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Jesus is in firm control of the situation, even though he is bound and brought before Pilate. He puts Pilate on trial as though he were saying, "Do you really desire to act justly in this manner? Are you really looking for information, or are you just going to be the simple tool of those who delivered me to you?" Things are not always as they seem. The beaten, defenseless Christ standing before Pilate was actually holding court on Pilate, the Roman governor. He was also holding court on the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the Jews, as he holds court and rules over us as well. Jesus blew right past the smokescreen of Pilate. He went right to the heart of the matter, and he does so with you and with me. Jesus knows our every thought, our every moment, everything about us. We think that we can do things that we know are wrong and unpleasing to God, and as though they don't matter because, after all, we're forgiven, or some other excuse. Jesus knows our every thought. The hearts of his people are in his hand. He questions Pilate intensely in these moments and presses upon him the individual responsibility of coming to some definite conviction. He is seeking justice, even though justice is perverted in the trial that he has been brought to. Is Pilate going to placate the Jews, as he would often do? That's Pilate's form of government. History records it well. When he wanted to be in favor of the people, he would do something that the people would like. Doesn't it sound like a politician? He was a politician. He was a leader who looked out for his personal interests. When he asked this question to Jesus, he was not interested in truth. We'll get to that as we see the question that's asked later. Pilate was interested in getting rid of the problem, and in so doing, he tries to get Jesus to give him a reason to send him away. Pilate avoids the question, betrays his insincerity. He isn't really seeking justice at all. His answer to Jesus is, "Your own chief priests have delivered you over to me." In other words, you must be guilty of something. But I'm sure Pilate knew in the back of his heart and mind that those very chief priests weren't to be trusted anyway. But nevertheless, Jesus stands before Pilate, and how does he respond? Look at verse 36 with me. After Pilate gives him this other question and says in verse 35, "Your own nation, your own chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus is going to tell him about a kingdom that does not depend on the power of Rome, a kingdom that does not depend on the power of men, but a kingdom that is not of this world, that depends on the power of God. And Jesus says, "That's my kingdom. A kingdom that is superior to the power of Rome, the Roman government, and its little titular ruler who stood before him." And this spiritual king, the Lord Jesus, is a king who does not rule by force. He rules by righteousness, and he rules by peace. And it tells us, and it shows us in this passage, that the answer that Jesus gives Pilate threw him into a quandary. He did not know what to do. Jesus is showing Pilate that there are two radically different approaches to life. One approach, in which someone like Pilate would do anything to receive power and honor and glory. He married into the royal family of Tiberius. He ascended his position by being in favor with the family and the government. He did everything he could to satisfy and to placate the Jews so that messages would not go back to Rome and complain against his position. And that's one way of having power. Jesus shows there are two radical different approaches to life. The other is the approach of peace and of righteousness. One valued only what one could taste, touch, and feel. The other lived for the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. One was arrayed in royal robes. The other had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. You see the contrast of the two kingdoms and the two people, Pilate and Jesus. And in this passage, Jesus bears witness to the truth. Look with me at our text at verse 37. Pilate asks these questions. What have you done? Why are you here? Jesus answers, I am a king, and this is the purpose for which Jesus comes. I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Jesus is saying he's on the side of truth. The purpose of his coming into the world is to bear witness to the truth. And so if Pilate was really after truth, he would have listened to Jesus. To Jesus, who came to bear witness to the truth, whose life and ministry was all about the truth of God. Pilate was not interested in the truth. But the truth is that Jesus came into this world to be its Savior, to bear witness to the truth of God, not to save the people and turn over the kingdom of Rome and put it safely back in the hands of Israel, but to bring the kingdom of life and salvation, because he was the bread of life and he was the Savior of the world. Bringing the bread that satisfies, bringing the heart of his kingdom into the hearts of people that they may know him and trust him. Pilate wasn't interested in truth, but Jesus testifies of truth, that he himself is the truth of God. Now, secondly, look with me at verses 38 and 39, where Pilate makes a confession before Jesus. And his confession is that he really did not understand the truth. Pilate said to him, what is truth? A lot of ink has been spilled in the commentators about the question. Was this asked sarcastically? Was this asked in genuine desire to know the truth? No one really knows. But many seem to think that this question was asked with a great deal of sarcasm. That is, he really didn't want to hear about truth. I mean, he was a politician after all. He was interested merely in the fantasy of power, celebrity status, sensual satisfaction. And that was Pilate's goal and desire. And Pilate is saying to Jesus, what is truth? Because he knew that all that he was living, all that he was experiencing, all that he stood for was not truth at all. But there is some aspect of this question that leads us to look at the passage and say, is he asking Jesus about truth? Does he really want to know? Because he finds no fault in him. He asks for truth, but he doesn't understand what he's asking for. It's hard to know exactly what the point of the question is, but after he asks the question, it says that he goes back to the people and says, I find no fault in this man. But that was just another one of his political moves to please the Jews. And when he couldn't please them by saying, I find no fault in this man, and he found that they wanted him to be crucified, he saw himself in a quandary and in a situation. If he was going to please the people, he had to do something with Jesus. And so he decides to send him to Herod for the brutal treatment that awaited him there. Pilate is very typical of the modern man and the unsaved person in this world, which is filled with materialism and sensuality and a desire to escape all responsibilities. Here is where that question, what is truth, comes into play. What is truth? Truth is that entity that God has revealed to us, that all things are from God, by God, and for God, that God has created truth. He himself is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it is that which Pilate wanted to evade at all costs. He evaded the objective truth that is found in the Word, in the living Word, and that we find in the revealed Word of God. Truth is something that we can observe in Scripture. Truth is something that is revealed in the Word of God. It is observable and it is able to be discussed because that truth comes to us from God by revelation embodied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the answer to that question, what is truth, we must find in Jesus. We must find the answer for us to that question, what is truth, in Jesus. And we must find him by seeking him, by believing in him, by trusting him, by committing ourselves to him as the one alone who is able to reveal the truth of God to us and meet the deepest needs of the human heart. That's the answer to the question Pilate raises, what is truth? Jesus is the truth of God. But thirdly, look with me at the verdict that Pilate renders in the face of the one who stood before him, who is the very truth of God, the revelation of God in the flesh. Pilate, in the last part of verse 38, says, I find no guilt in him. And here is his quandary. To please the people, I have to do something. Maybe they'll let him go. You have a custom, he says, that I should release one man for you. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? But the people were ready for this. No, not this man, but Barabbas. I see Pilate here as a man looking for a way out. At a loss of knowing what to do, he remembers the Jewish tradition to deliver and liberate one prisoner at the Passover. The very fact that Pilate would propose that prisoner exchange even reveals his unscrupulous character. He didn't have a desire for the truth, did he? If he had a desire for the truth, what would he have done? He would have declared Jesus to be completely innocent and set him free. But he didn't. Pilate gave the people their choice, people's choice. Jesus, Barabbas. We know the answer. The people chose Barabbas. And the reason the people chose Barabbas was that they hated Jesus even more. They were willing to resort to murder and theft while rejecting the spiritual king of the people of God. Jesus and Barabbas exchanged places. In this place called the Praetorium, probably no more than 1,000 or 1,500 feet from the Tower of Antonia, there in Jerusalem, Barabbas was awaiting execution. He could probably hear the roar of the crowd shouting his name. Think of that. You're on death row. And the crowd that you hear outside is shouting your name. What would you think? It's going to be close. Time is coming closer. Barabbas! Barabbas! But what he did not know was when that crowd cried, crucify him, they meant Jesus. He probably felt some terror when the jail doors were unlocked, when they opened the doors coming to free him, but he didn't know that he was being freed at that moment. It may have taken him a moment to realize that Jesus was going to take his place. And the truth is, Jesus stood in the physical place of Barabbas. The other truth is, Jesus stood in the spiritual place of everyone here who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For you were on death row, spiritually speaking, deserving of death and punishment from God for your sins. You deserve to die, to be punished eternally for your sins, to receive the unfailing wrath of God and be delivered up for your offenses. But Jesus going to the cross, crucified for us and for our salvation, satisfies the debt of the justice of God for our sins. He took your health. He took your place. There is nothing left for you but heaven and the presence of God. That is the teaching of the gospel we call the substitutionary atonement. It is the gospel as Peter speaks of it in his letter. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. There in a sentence you have the gospel. He bore our sins. He took our place in his body. He's our substitute. He's our representative on the tree. He was crucified, died, and subjected to the judgment of God. This judge of all, unjustly condemned, took our place that we might go free. What is the truth? What is truth? Pilate's question, the answer, the greatest truth is Christ died for all who trust in him. Do you trust him today? Do you love him who died for you? Let us pray.